Kumlena Blakamoda, there's Chedish Oda, Mishnichnis Oda, Marvin the Simcha. So, and Ein Hashchina Shruya Elamit Simcha. That's where it is. Okay, Mishnah. Mishnah and Pegimlam Ralev says the Mishnah, Hatsamai's bones, Vahagidin, Gidin veins, or nerves, or sinews, has many different interpretations. Vahanoisa, and left over from a carbon. What do you do with all of them? Yisro, you burn it, but you cannot burn it on Yom Tov itself, so you burn it on Chol HaMoed, which is Shisha Asa. What happened the 16th day? What happens if Chol Tes Zayin leaves Shabbos, if Chol HaMoed falls on a Shabbos, or Yom Tov was Friday? Even though Pesach cannot fall on Friday, but if it did, then Yisro will be Yud Zayin. You burn it on the Sunday again, which now is the 17th. Why? The fisher ain't on Deichin Lo Yes Shabbos Lo Yom Tov, because burning Kotrim Notz Mitzvah does not push away Shabbos, nor does it push away Yom Tov. We already had the Gemara in the Chofei there in Shabbos. Why? And we'll have a repeated Gemara here later. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Mori Baravu Rav Yitzchok, Rav Mori the son of Usan and Yitzchok at some ways Kotrim. If you have bones left over from Kotrim, any carbon Shishimshu. Nice. For example, there's marrow inside, and the marrow is considered meat, and therefore it has to be eaten and sucked out before the time expires. Otherwise, it turns into nice and has to get burned. So the bones that are there to support it is the metaminous yidayim have the same rules as nice. They become like bottled to the marrow. And we know by nice the Rabbanan made a rule that if you touch nice, you become tummy. This way, we don't want people to be derelict. And they should be much more vigilant to make sure they finish their kabbanas. So the same rule applies to these bones. Hoyo venasa basis of David Asim. Because they became the base, they support the thing, the marrow, which is asa. So they have the same status as the noiser that they are supporting. It says the Gemara, name of Messiah, bring a proof from our very Mishnah. The Mishnah has two separate dinamir. Atzama's bones, gidim and sinews, then it's about noiser and leftover of the carbon. Now, if bones, and the problem of bones are mainly the marrow, then that is exactly noisiv. How come it's separated two separate dinim? Yitzvah l'tezayin, you burn it first, Chol HaMoed. Hani, and some of them, let's analyze these bones. What's the story with these bones? You tell me you have to burn them. Ilema de lesbahu moich, if there's no marrow inside them, then lama b'seifa. Why do you have to burn them? Bones have nothing. There's no noisiv, najdinu, just toss it away. Because the Torah doesn't require you to burn them, only things which are suitable to be eaten. Mashen kein, bones are not edible. Elopshita dibumech must be talking about a case where there's marrow inside, and therefore, and because there's marrow inside, but the problem is with Pesach you can't get to the marrow because you're not allowed to break the bones, so they become nicer. So therefore, it's a separate case altogether because it's not only the marrow, but it's the bones as well, and the bones are supporting the marrow. So we're up to the Pei Gimel and Aleph about 8 lines below the word Gemara. If you say Bishleima Shimush Noiser, if you're going to tell me that bones are considered a support to the marrow and therefore they themselves become Noiser, Milsihi is a matter, something Amtu Lehochi Boyi Sefer. Therefore, the bones also need to be burnt because they're part of the Noiser. Eliamish Milsihi, if you're going to tell me the bones have nothing to do with the marrow, the problem is the marrow, not the bones. Lamalu Sefer, why do you still have to burn it? Now that Pesach, now that the current Pesach is over, expired, it's time, and you have to get rid of the marrow. Nitbarinu, it's very difficult to burn bones. Bones to catch on fire is very difficult. So isn't it easier at this stage? There's no problem of breaking the bones because you can't eat anything. Nitbarinu, why don't we break the bones? Vinechal Tzalamaya, scrape out the marrow, didhu its marrow, vinisafir and burn it. Vinajdin ledu, and the bones will toss away. Elav Shmam, it does not prove that Shimush Noiser Milsi must be the bones themselves become Noiser because they're supporting Noiser. Therefore, we have to burn the bones. Says the Gemara, Amri, no proof at all. I can argue that the bones are not considered a support to the Noiser. So why don't we just break the bones and remove all the marrow? Ukasava, he holds. Boy, when it says etzim leisis boy to boy, you shouldn't break a bone by it. So we learned previously, boy v'loy b'posel. If the Karm Pesach is posel, is no longer disqualified, a prohibition of breaking the bones. He doesn't learn that. He holds boy b'basel b'afil b'kosher b'afil b'posel. He holds, you know, I break bones in Karm Pesach, regardless of whether it's kosher or posel, regardless of whether it's nicer, you still can't break the breda. You can't break the bones. Karm Pesach is an exception. Afilu, says the Gemara, afilu b'posel sagadatach. Are you going to tell me that it means he holds that even if it's possible, you have to, you know, break the bones? Let me ask a question. What Tanan? We learned in a Mishnah, which we'll learn later on. Avol hamoise betoy, if somebody leaves over by a toydic animal or tome, vahashoivir betome, or you break a bone by a tomedic pesach, einoy soifik is a boim, you don't get your third lashanan aver. In other words, if the animal itself is tome, the animal itself is not considered qualified to become pesach, there is no iser of breaking the bones. So l'chayda, after it became noiser, it's no longer, you know, a carbon pesach. It's no longer qualified to be a carbon pesach. What's wrong with breaking the bones? And the fact that you don't break the bones, doesn't that prove that the bones themselves are noiser because they support the marrow? No, look, Kasha, not a question. We hold no proof whatsoever. The reason why you not break the bones is because originally a carbon pesach. So how come we learned over there that if it's no longer a Karm Pesach, you can break the bones? It depends if ever it was a Karm Pesach or not. Kan, Shahesh Lashaz Kosh, in our case that we're talking about over here is, it's a proper kosher Pesach, and now you had left over. Since it started out correctly, so the bones were, you're not allowed to break them. Once the din is, you're not allowed to break them, you're never allowed to break them, even after it became possible, after it became nicer. So why aren't you allowed to break the bones? Not because they support the marrow, but because you're not allowed to break the bones. That other Mishnah said of an animal that was tamei, there's no prohibition of breaking the bones. Kan, there's talking about shlahoishel shasa kosher. For the first moment that you were bringing the Karm Pesach, it already became tamei. From the sprinkling, it became tamei already. And therefore, it never had a moment that it was kosher. So the iser of breaking the bones never happened. Says the mortar, it became tummy right before you sprinkled it, so there's no Easter of breaking the bones. Uman Tana, where did you get this idea that there's a difference, the Shonel Lebesh, Hoysel Shazakosha, Loysel Shazakosha, whether there was a Shazakosha or not? Says the mortar, actually, it's Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov makes that distinction. Where did you see Rabbi Yaakov? The time you'll be learning, it says in the Pasig, the Etzim Loysis, that you should not make sure that you don't break any bone on the Korban Pesach. So we dash and boy, the Tanakam says, boy, but kosher, only the Korban Pesach is kosher. The labor apostle, but not if the Korban Pesach is apostle, then there's no prohibition of breaking the bones. Comes along Rabbi Yaakov and he says, depends. Oy, so leishasa kosher, if the animal was a kosher Pesach, then let's say it became left over, you know, you're not allowed to break the bones. The nifsel, yesh boy, mishon etzim, I disagree with you, you're not allowed to break the bones. But I will agree with you, if loy hoysa leishasa kosher, if the animal became tummy, or the meat became tummy or something before you sprinkle the blood, then ain't boing mishum shvidas etzim. Then there's no longer prohibition of breaking the bones because there never was a proper Korban Pesach. Rab Shimon, he says, echadzeh, ain't boing mishum shvidas etzim. He holds there's no Issa breaking the bones, even if there was a time period that it was good. But right now, it's no longer, let's say it's nice, it's left over, it's no good anymore. There's no Issa breaking the bones. Rab Tesher explains that Rab Shimon and Rab Yaakov are arguing in understanding the Tanakhama. So it's not three opinions, it's two opinions how to stand Tanakhama. Meshal asks a question that says, Nebraisa kol atzama is all the bones of kachim, any bones left over from kachim, not Korban Pesach, just generally kabonis, ain to unin seifa, you don't have to break them, it's very difficult to burn bones. So what do? You break the bones and you take out the marrow and you burn that and you throw away the bones. Chutz ma'atzama sa Pesach, except the bones of a Korban Pesach, because you cannot break them, because of etzim loisish boy to boy. Therefore, you have to burn the bones with the marrow inside. Because of the stumbling block. Now, hani atzamas, let's understand these bones, hechidami. We're still trying to discuss whether the bones become nicer themselves, or the problem with the bones of Pesach is not to break them. You have to burn them, not because of themselves, but because of the marrow inside them. It says, hani atzamas, these bones, hechidami, what are we talking about? There's no marrow inside the lomelu sefer. Why burn them at all? The bones are not food. There is marrow. Now, if you can tell me that shimush noisim milsehi, if you can tell me that the bones that support the marrow become like the marrow, so forget Korban Pesach. All other kabbonis, then why should there be a difference Korban Pesach and any other carbon? All kabbonis, if you have marrow inside the bone, because we're talking about the same case. If Pesach, we're talking about marrow, so too other kabbonis. And all kabbonis have marrow inside the bone. If the bone supports the marrow, becomes like the marrow, then every carbon that you have to burn the bones because it itself is nicer. Doesn't that prove? No, the bone itself is not nicer. So all kabbonis, you just break the bones and scrape off the marrow. Korban Pesach is a separate prohibition of breaking the bones, and therefore we have no choice but to burn the bones themselves. So the bones themselves do not become bottle or, you know, ancillary to the marrow. So it seems. Otherwise, how can you explain the difference between other kabbonis and Korban Pesach? Says, you want to know. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, I can argue as follows. You know why the difference between other Krabbatas and Pesach? There's a special scenario, and it goes as follows. Hoch maskim atom at a special case, kigoin shemotzen chalutzes. You found all the bones broken. You found broken bones. And you found that all the marrow was scraped off them. So kochim, when it comes to, so the question is, when would these, really the bones support the marrow? So why other kabbanas do we say you don't have to burn the bones? We found the bones broken and there was no marrow left inside. It was scraped. The question is, was the marrow taken out before it became nisa? And therefore, the bones were broken after. Because if the bones were broken after it became nisa, at the moment it became nisa, the bones were still supporting the marrow. The bones become like the marrow, because they hold that shimish nisaru, and therefore, the bones have to be burnt. So all other kabbalas, you're allowed to break the bones. So the pashtas will assume you wanted to scrape out the marrow. You didn't want to have any nisa. So you must have broken the bones before it became nisa. So the bones, therefore, by the moment it became nisa, the bones were no longer supporting the marrow. That's why the bones aren't to be burned. But Korban Pesach, we assume, on the contrary, you wouldn't have broken it before, because you're not break the bones. You probably broke it after it became nicer, because then there's no prohibition anymore. And therefore, the bones already supported the nicer, and that's why you have to burn the bones. So I can explain the difference between other Korbanos and Korban Pesach two ways. Either that the bones are not considered as supportive at all, but there's an issur breaking the bones, that's why you have to burn it. Or the bones are supported, but we found them broken. And we're assuming you broke them after it became nicer. So more explains. You found the bones broken, not Thomas, the bones of carbonas, the engbem, there's no prohibition of being breaking the bones. We'll assume you broke them before it became nicer. The loy havi shimush nicer, because you didn't want there should be any leftovers, so you must have broken the bones in order to scrape out the marrow before it became nicer. The loy boy safe, therefore you don't have to burn them. But at Thomas at Pesach, you couldn't have done that because you're not break bones. The yeshbem, there's a prohibition, you're not allowed to break the bones. Then the boss of the Rebbe Noisil Chatzinus, but could only assume that you probably broke the bones after it became nicer, because then the prohibition disappears, according to the prohibition disappears, according to the Tanakhama, or Rabbi Shimon's version of Tanakhama. And therefore the bones were supporting the marrow at the time it became nicer, Uboy is safe where they require burning. I'll give you another example, another case with what happened and the difference between the difference between kochim, all other kabbanas, and korban pesach. Why all other kabbanas, the bones can be tossed away, and why korban pesach has to be burnt. And even though the bones support the marrow, so the bones become like the marrow, what's the difference than Pesach other kabbanas? You found the bones, tziburin, you found a whole pile of bones, and you look at the top of the pile, umehen chalutzen, and you see some broken on top. And the question is, can we assume that all the bones are broken, and therefore the marrow was scraped out, therefore don't worry, just throw it away? Or do you have to check from top to bottom? So it goes as follows. Atzomas kachim, bones are kachim, the ain behem shum shvirs etzem. There's no prohibition whatsoever of breaking the bones. Then we'll assume the kula havichos, definitely broke all the bones because you wanted to scrape out the marrow, suck out the marrow because you don't want to be nice. Ochlo, you ate it. V'laboy yisreifa, you don't require any burning because the bones are buses to the nisa, but there was no nisa. You definitely broke the bones earlier because you wanted to suck out the marrow. We don't have to check the rest of the barrel. Oh, but atzomas of Pesach, when it comes to the bones of Pesach are supporting the nisa, and you definitely not to break bones in order to get to the marrow. Yesh behem mishum shvirza etzem. So Dilma, perhaps, hani de chatzina, maybe you're right. Maybe this person happened to break some bones, and he did it before the nisa. And he did it before it became nicer. So you maybe could toss it away, but that's the top of the barrel. You cannot make that assumption. You have to continue going through the entire barrel. Well, Hanukkah, Chatzinu, boy, say for the rest, maybe it didn't break. You can't just assume. You have to check it out. Otherwise, we'll assume the rest of the bones were not broken because there's an Aveira involved in each one, and therefore you have to burn it. Okay, Nudin. Amarav Yehuda, Kolagidin. He says that all the gidin, the nerves, the veins, the sinews, kol hagidin basar, is considered like meat. They're edible, and therefore, if you leave it over, it becomes noise. Chutz, the only veins or arteries or sinews that you cannot eat is gidei tzavar, those that are around the heart, because they're just not edible. They're very thick, and they're not edible. Says the Gemara. So we treat like a piece of wood. So therefore, there's no noise or anything else. Tanan, in our mission, says that Thomas bones, hagidim, and sinews, hanois, and leftover meat, yisrafu betezayin, you burn it in the chalamoid. Nahani gidin, the second case, which is gidin hechidon, what are we talking about? Ilema gidi basar, are we talking about that, what, just, you know, the veins or the sinews that go through the meat that are edible, then no different than meat, people eat them. Then nechlinu, then they should be eaten. We eat the itoiser, hainu nois, everything left over. Why does the Mishnah count it as a separate case? When the Mishnah says that all the leftovers, anything which is edible that's left over, you have to burn, why would that include the gidin? Why do you have to highlight the gidin? Elip shita, we're talking about something which is not so edible. Gidi tzavar, we're talking about from the heart. So e amri bishlein basar, if you can tell me that what? That it's still edible. Okay, it's hard to eat, it's not that comfortable, it's not that tasty, whatever it is, it's difficult to chew. But you still tell me it's considered food. Then amdalochi by sefer, therefore it has to be burnt. Because generally speaking, you probably didn't eat it, and therefore you have to burn it. But Eliam, if you can tell me that La Bosninu is not considered meat at all, then Lomalus Reifa, then why burn it at all? If you tell me that the veins by the heart are not a piece of wood, then the Torah says only that which is edible, if it's left over, you have to burn it. So why do you have to burn it? Again, if you're talking about ordinary Gideon, that is, since it's edible, it is included in the word Noisa. So Gideon must be a part that's not so edible, around the neck. But you're telling me, and yet it says over here that in Al Mishnah, that the Gideon have to be burnt. But if you're telling me that what? That Gideon are not edible, that's what we just said in Eirab. Then therefore it would seem, if it's not edible, then it's not Noisa. If it's not Noisa, why burn it? So we might give a number of answers. What do we mean over here? Amarab, answer number one. Amarab Chizah. You know what the Mishnah means by Gidin? The Gidin around the heart are not edible. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says Gidin? What is it talking about? Like Nitzchah, we're talking about El Gid Hanosha. We're talking about the sciatic nerves in the back of your foot, which you're not allowed to eat. But the nerves around your heart definitely are not considered meat. They're considered a piece of wood. And therefore, you don't have to burn it. It's not edible. And all other gidim are considered meat. What we're talking about now, Mishnah here, is gidim which are not considered meat, but it's a sciatic nerve. What do you mean? Technically, it is meat. You can eat it. But we can't, because halacha doesn't allow us to eat it. So therefore, it's a separate category altogether. And therefore, the Mishnah tells you that these gidim, even though you're not going to eat it, you still have to burn it. Why? Says what? It goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya, we learned. No, if it's 100% you're not allowed to eat it again, then why is it nicer? We're talking about something else. According to the people, we'll have different versions where, according to the Torah, you're allowed to eat it, but Lepoil, we don't eat it. So therefore, it doesn't get included with normal nicer, because Lepoil, we don't eat it. But because, theoretically, we're allowed to eat it, therefore, we have to burn it. What's the story? We'll have different answers. First one is, we're following Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein yonoeg v'achas. Rabbi Yehuda says that the law of Gid Hanosha only applies to one of the legs, either the right or the left. But he's not 100% sure. But das machrashi mean, logic tells you that it must be probably mean the right leg, but he cannot prove it. And therefore, we are machmir, we don't eat from both legs. So one of those, the sayag nerve of one of the legs, are actually, you're allowed to eat it. So therefore, it's noisa. And you could eat it. The only reason why we don't eat it is because of a suffix. And therefore, the Mishnah highlights separately that it has to be burnt. Says the Gemara, if so, vel tifshai, the sukim, the sapkil, Rabbi Yehuda. Then at least, let's, when the Gemara in Chulin asks, Rabbi Yehuda said, logic says it's the right one. Was Rabbi Yehuda making a ruling that's only the right one that's asr? Or he's saying, logic says the right one, but we're not sure, and therefore we should be machmer. So let's prove from our Mishnah here the fact that you have to burn the Gidin, which means that we don't eat it. So therefore, let's resolve the question about Yehuda that he holds. It's still a suffix, we're not sure, and therefore we should be machmer, not even both legs. And interesting, the Gemara uses the expression there. When Rabbi Yehuda said that Das tells me it's the right one, is it Das Torah? And this is whether you ever see the newspapers, they talk about Das Torah. He said, is it Das Torah? In other words, is it decisive that it's definitely the right leg? Or he's just being mesapik. He says, my gut feeling tells me it's the right, but I'm not going to rule based on my gut feeling. Says the Gemara, so if so, well, Tifshay, why don't we resolve this Fukim Mesapka of Yehuda that actually he's not 100% sure, he still has a suffix, because if it's 100% Das Torah, and it's 100% that it's the right leg, then I heed the Hetayda necklace, so the one on the left leg, eat it, it's like regular meat, and if you don't, it's like Noisa. Udi Yisud in the Shadya, and the one on the right, you have to throw away. And there's no Noisa at all. Lama Le Sefer, why burn anything? We're talking about a case here, the reason why Maybe it's only the right leg. But we're talking about here that the sciatic nerves got mixed up with each other. Initially you knew, well, one's the right leg, one's the left leg, and then they got mixed up, and that's why you didn't eat it. But one of them you could eat, technically. And therefore, it's food. But the pile, you have to burn it because you didn't eat it because you don't know which one it is. But the reason why you didn't eat it is because legally you couldn't eat it. It's a suffix. Why is it a suffix? Not because you didn't know which one it is, because it got mixed up. And that is why we don't bring, what do you call it? and that's why you separate it in the Mishnah from Nois. That's answer number one. Rav Ashi comes along, says similar, but something else. Lo nitzcha ela l'shmana, the Gid HaNasha. We're talking about the fats around the Gid HaNasha. According to the Torah, you're not allowed to eat the sciatic nerve, but you're allowed to eat the fats that are there near the sciatic nerve. We decided to be machmer, we don't eat the fats either. So therefore, when I tell you, you're allowed to eat it, so it's meat. The pile, we don't eat it, so therefore it has to be burnt because it's edible, but it's not like regular meat where we just were derelict. Here, we couldn't, legally, because there's the chumrah that we took upon ourselves. And therefore, it's counted as separate. because from the first moment, already you knew you had to burn it because you couldn't. Noisim happened to be leftover. This wasn't a case of leftover. You have to burn it because we're not going to allow you to eat it. The time we learned, Shmanim Mutter, technically you're allowed to eat the fats around the Gid HaNasha, but Yisrael Kedoshim, remember the Jews are considered holy, the Noigim by Yisrael, and they decided to be Machmer. Ravina says, again, we're talking about the Gid HaNasha, but we're talking about Bechitzen, we're talking about the sciatic nerve, there's two nerves there, there's the inner one that grows along your foot, there's an outer one which is much shorter, and we're Machmer on the outer one as well, and that's what we're talking about in our Mishnah Gidin. The inner one, of course, is not food because you're not allowed to eat it. Right, but the outer one, technically, you're allowed to eat it, so it's food. But with poil, we're not going to eat it. From the first moment on, we knew already it's going to be burnt, so it's not leftover, and therefore we burn it. There are actually two veins going up your thigh. Pnimi hasamach le'etzem aser. The inner one, that's next to your bone, that's the long sciatic nerve. Aser is forbidden. And it's right next to your leg. And on the other hand, chitzen hasam al-basr, aser and chayav nalav. But the outer one is also aser, but you're not chayiv on it. And therefore, technically you're allowed to eat it. It's meat, but the poil you're not allowed to eat it. Not because it's left over, because you're not allowed to eat it. So therefore it gets burnt and it's counted as a separate thing. So again, but Gideon themselves, but they're around the neck, I will argue they're not meat at all, and therefore they don't eat it, have to burn it. And our Mishnah, it says Gidin, we're talking about some part of the Gid HaNasha. It says in our Mishnah, Chol Tezayin, but if, let's say, if Yomtiv, if it falls, if the first day Yomtiv is Friday, let's say, and the next day is Shabbos, so they have to burn it on Sunday. It says Gemara, but my, why generally can't you burn it on Yomtiv? On Yomtiv, they say asay v'itcha asay. Why don't they? Okay, Shabbos I understand, but why doesn't it push away Yomtiv? You have a mitzvah asay, which is to burn these kachim because it's noiser. You have a loisasa on Yomtiv. You now do any malacha, and we have a general rule that asay pushes away a loisasa. Omar Chizki says Chizki. If I told you Chizki Amakra, and the yeshiva Chizki said it says in Pasuk, we're going to have a few answers. Answer number one. It says in the Pasuk, don't leave anything over from the Korban Pesach until the morning. Then it says, anything left over in the morning, burn in the fire. What do you have to say again? You just said, don't leave anything in the morning, and then the Pasuk should have said, and anything left over, burn it. Why do you have to stress ad boiker? We don't need it. So why is it written? To give you even though in theory the mitzvah say burning the kachim should push away yamtiv, but here the pasuk clearly says give it a second morning. Wait till cholamid. Okay, that's answer number one. In other words, this answer agrees that yamtiv only has a loisasa, and in theory the asay should push it away, and the only reason why it doesn't is because of this pasuk ad boiker. Abayi says, Amakro, the same idea, but from a different pasuk. It says in the pasuk, you should bring oilas Shabbos b'Shabbat. The carbon oil of Shabbos should be done on Shabbos. And we learn from there, for oilas choil b'Shabbos. If you brought a carbon on Friday and you have left over, you cannot put it on the Mizbeach on Friday night to be Mechal Shabbos. Because the oil of the choil should not, push away Shabbos. And below oilas choil be yomtiv, and nor, let's say you did a carbon air yomtiv, you're not allowed to roast it on yomtiv itself. So if a proper carbon that was made properly, and you don't have to burn it, you're not allowed to, it doesn't push away yomtiv. So surely a pasla carbon, in other words, surely noisid, you're not allowed to do on yomtiv. Now I'll do on yomtiv. So then, what further? Rava gives another answer. Again, you're right. Yom Tov has a loisa said, but we have a pasuk from Oilas Shabbos b'Shabbat, and not a weekday or and Korban Pesach is said a weekday Yom Tov because you do everything on Erev Pesach. Rava, my Rava said the third pasuk. Omakro, it says in the pasuk, Hu levada yas lechem. It says on the first day is Yom Tov, and the last day is Yom Tov. Don't do any malacha on Yom Tov, only that which is oichel nefesh. Hu levada yas lechem. That's the only thing you ask lechem. That's the only thing you're allowed to do for yourself. Is things which are for necessary for eating. So we darshan who it the loy machshirav. Only things that only the things itself that directly relates to what you're eating, everything else, but not preparation for eating. The loy mila shaloy bezman. Okay, so therefore, if not preparation for eating, so anything to do with preparing for food, you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. And the loy mila shaloy bezman haba mekav v'chemer. And also a bris mila, which is not the due date, you're not allowed to do it on. On Yom Tov. L'chayde, we should be able to. And why is that? Because we know that leprosy, if pushes, we know like this, that leprosy pushes away avoid. If a kohen is a leper, he's not allowed to work in the base of Mikdash. So which is stricter? Leprosy. And we know that a kohen on Shabbos works. It means leprosy is stronger than avoid, and avoid is stronger than Shabbos, which means that leprosy is stronger than Shabbos. And mila is stronger than leprosy. Because even shalei bezman is pushed away leprosy. If there's a leprosy growing where the male member is, you cut her off still. So l'chayda, so surely mila shalei bezman should push away Shabbos. That's what you would think. It comes along a pasuk and says, no, that since it's not the right time, you don't do that. So it says, hu levadi aschem, you don't do that. So for example, a ger has to wait till after Shabbos. Or a child, whatever it was in Gemal, has to wait till after Shabbos, or till after Yom Tov. So we're saying that burning leftover of Kachim is no different than Mila Shalei Bezmana, because anything you can wait, anything that you can delay, delay. So therefore you wait till Chalamoid. So all of these three answers believe that there's only a Loisa Sabah Yom Tov. Come along Rav Ashi, and he says, I disagree with all of you. I hold that Yom Tov has a Loisa Sabah, you're not doing Malacha, but there's also a Mitzah say of resting. Rav Ashi says, Shabbos and the Yom Tov aseyu. Shabbos and Yom Tov mitzvah asei, you have to rest on Yom Tov. And therefore, now Yom Tov, every time you do an Avera on Yom Tov, you're committing two sins. You did the Lois Aseh, you violated Avera of working, you shouldn't have worked, but also you're not in the spirit of resting. The Ein Aseh and a mitzvah Aseh of burning Kochim, the Latin Lois Aseh, does not have the ability to doicha a Lois Aseh Aseh. When you bunch together the Lois and Aseh, it's so much stronger, and Aseh cannot do that. And therefore, it doesn't push away. That's why you don't burn the leftover Korban Pesach on Yom Tov itself. Okay. Good Shabbos, everybody. And